Welcome to our worship service. A lot of people these days are interested in being happy, and they've got all different kinds of ideas for happiness. So I actually Googled it this afternoon. I put in secrets to happiness. You know how many results I found? 276 million results. People must have a lot of different ideas about how to be happy and stay happy. Well, in our study of God's Word tonight, the Apostle Paul in Philippians, he's talking about happiness too, only there's a little different word for it, and he calls it joy. He says rejoice. And there's a big difference between joy and happiness. They sound the same, but happiness depends on circumstances, but joy doesn't. And the Apostle Paul is going to remind us tonight about that little detail because that's what you and I have as believers. We have joy. We're going to have the difficulties of earthly life, so there are going to be some unhappy days perhaps. But the joy of faith and forgiveness in heaven is something that we have all the time, something that we can count on, something that we can rejoice in. And that's what the Apostle Paul will encourage us to do. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and has redeemed His people. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, Master Teacher, how precious are the words you speak to us. From the storeroom of your wisdom you bring us the treasures of your truth. And chief among these is your Heavenly Father's plan of salvation, which you revealed to us by your teaching and life. The words you have taught us, they are spirit and they are life. As baptized children of God, we confess our sins. Heavenly Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. One of the things about God's plan of salvation is that it isn't just for certain people. Anyone can believe, anyone can come to faith, and Jesus gives that invitation to everyone. Only those that believe in Jesus, however, will have that gift of salvation, and those that do not believe will receive God's punishment. Here's an Old Testament prophecy about this. On this mountain, the Lord of armies will prepare for all peoples a banquet of rich food, a banquet of aged wines with the best cuts of meat, and with the finest wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that covers all peoples, the burial cloth stretched over the nations. He has swallowed up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. He will take away the shame of his people throughout the world. For the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Look, here is our God. We waited for him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Our psalm reading for today is the familiar 23rd Psalm. If you'd like to read along with me, please do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The gospel reading is from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Everyone receives the invitation for faith and salvation, but few actually believe. Some will drag their feet, others get too busy with earthly things, others will forget about that invitation and be eternally lost. You and I can be very thankful that we have the gift of salvation and can rejoice in it. It gives us joy every day. Jesus spoke to them again in parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent out his servants to summon those who were invited to the wedding banquet, but they did not want to come. Then he sent out other servants and said, 'Tell those who are invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But those who were invited paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest seized the king's servants, mistreated them, and killed them. As a result, the king was very angry. He sent his army and killed those murderers and burned their town. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So go to the main crossroads and invite as many as you find to the wedding banquet.' Those servants went out to the roads and gathered together everyone they found, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without wearing wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the servants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" God's word for our encouragement are the verses of the epistle reading from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, fellow Christians, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent and if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things. The things that you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, keep on doing these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord now that you have revived your concern for me once again. Actually, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I lack anything. In fact, I have learned to be content in any circumstances in which I find myself. I know what it is to live in humble circumstances, and I know what it is to have more than enough. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, while being full or hungry, while having plenty or not enough. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Your fellow believers, when you see people, or you and I see one another like tonight at church, And we say hi to one another, and then maybe I say, well, how are you doing? Well, the answer to that question depends on how things are going in your life, and my life's the same. Maybe if you had a tough day today, your response would be, well, I'm doing okay, or if it was bad, not very good. Maybe if everything went well today, just like you planned it would, you'd say, hey, I'm doing great. Well, that would be nice, but there's lots of days where it's good and difficult and all over the place in our lives here on this earth. We say those things because the happiness that we have is dependent on our circumstances. And that's the word happiness. Well, the Apostle Paul has some good reminders for us tonight that happiness is one thing, but he wants us to have joy. And joy doesn't depend on circumstances. It depends on the things that Jesus has done to save us from our sins. And because those things don't change every day, because those promises of God are there every day, we can count on them every day of our lives. Tonight, the Apostle Paul encourages us to remember to rejoice in our salvation. God takes away our worry and fear. God guides us through our life here. And finally, God gives us the strength to live as Christians every day. The Apostle Paul had a lot of ups and downs, to put it mildly. He had so many things that went on for him in his life that I'm sure there were people that wondered how Paul could do it all. He would go to one town and they'd welcome him and they'd praise him for being an apostle. And they'd listen to his message, they'd come to faith, everything would be great. He'd go to the next town and before he even started preaching, they'd run him out. They didn't want to hear him. And then it got worse from there. They'd throw Paul into jail. They'd physically beat him up. One time they stoned him nearly to death. Maybe Paul was even tempted to wonder, is it worth it? Look at what's happened to me because of my preaching and because of my faith in Jesus. But Paul knew it was more than worth it. And that's what he wanted the Philippians to understand. When Paul wrote this letter to the believers in the city of Philippi, he was actually in prison for preaching. And you get a gist of what he's saying here. Paul sounds pretty happy, doesn't he? He sounds pretty encouraging, but he's actually in prison. So how could Paul be so upbeat about everything in his life? Because not everything is going well. Well, the difference is Paul didn't base his joy on his earthly circumstances. It wasn't because he was having a good day that he could rejoice. No, he was rejoicing because he had his faith in Jesus. He knew he had the forgiveness of all of his sins, and he knew he had a home in heaven. And that's what he wanted the Philippian believers to have too. And that's why he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Paul repeats it twice for emphasis. He wanted the people really to be happy about their circumstances. Not that everything was going well in their life, but to look at their life in light of their faith. And when they had that Christian faith, things would really change for them in the way that they lived their lives each day. Paul talks about one thing, about letting their gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. A couple sentences down, he's going to talk about not worrying. Well, those encouragements came because of the change in lifestyle for being someone connected to the world, for someone to being connected to God by faith. Why worry about things? Worry is actually a sinful thing. It means I'm not even trusting God to help me. Why worry about things when they had their faith? Why deal with people in a negative way when they knew that the Lord was near? Already in the New Testament times, they were hoping that Jesus would come back on the last day. And if Jesus didn't return, they would soon go home to heaven. Why worry about those things? Why worry about how you're being treated in earthly life? Instead, have the joy that comes from faith. And when they were imitating that and showing it to other people, they would be an example to them. Here's how Paul goes on. He says, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry. Use your faith. Talk to the Lord. Ask Him for things that you need in your life. Ask the Lord to help you put away the unhappiness of earthly life and to see all the joy that you have because you have your faith, you have your forgiveness, and you already have your home in heaven. And when the Philippians could do that, Paul says that they would have peace. I like to think of peace as the inner calm security that a believer has. We have peace with God because our sins are forgiven. We have peace living in this life because we know that the Lord's in control. We have peace when we think about our eternal life because we know it's already our possession. Paul wanted the Philippians, like he wants you and I, to rejoice in our salvation because God takes away all of our fears by giving us our faith. Can you remember the last time that you were completely joyful and had a great day? If you and I are honest with ourselves, most of our days are filled with troubles or worries or issues that we're dealing with. And how often don't we allow those things to kind of take over? And it ruins our day because things aren't going like we had planned them to. Then we fall into the trap at times of worrying or being afraid and forgetting about what our faith really means to us. And it's all because we're using that idea of happiness. I can't be happy unless all these things are going well in my life. And if they're not going well, then I can't be happy. That's what the devil wants us to believe, but not the Lord. Jesus came into our world, and he knew how difficult earthly life was. He went through it himself. The Bible says he was tempted in every way, just like you and I are, never sinned. But he had so much to deal with his suffering and his persecution, and finally his death on the cross. But Jesus was positive. He was here to save all people from their sins and to give you and I a reason not to be so sad about earthly life, not to wait until everything was perfect to be joyful. He wants us to be joyful simply because we have those gifts that he has given to us. We have faith to believe. We heard in the Bible readings about people that rejected that invitation to faith. We heard about people that gave up their faith and tried to get into heaven without faith. We have faith. We have the free and full forgiveness of all of our sins. We have a home in heaven. And it's that joy that depends on our faith, not on circumstances, that gets us through our earthly lives. God is here taking away our fears and worries, wanting us to rely on him. And he not only does those things for us, but he wants to guide our lives of faith every day. Here's the next encouragement Paul gives. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent, and if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things. You could think about this list here that Paul gives as Christian virtues, things that you would do as a believer. But notice what Paul focuses in on here. It's the thoughts of things that he's concerned about. Why would Paul even be concerned about Christians thinking the wrong things? And the answer is that sinful thoughts lead to sinful actions. Paul didn't just want the people to have faith. He wanted them to demonstrate the faith that was in their heart. He wanted them to find the encouragement that was there from God's word so that their faith and their daily life wasn't a separate thing. They were to use their faith every day in their daily life. They were to use it to live like believers. They were to use it especially when they had difficult times. God was going to be there to help them to get through that difficult thing by relying on him and not on themselves. God wanted to guide their lives, not what they thought was best for their life. The same thing is true in your life and mine. When you are a Christian, we are to think in Christian ways. So we don't separate the way we live each day from our faith. Our faith is there to guide us, and that's what's happening tonight. God is guiding us to live in a way that's pleasing to him. And it's not just about actions. It's about even thinking sinful things. God wants to guide us in every possible way because we know what he's prepared for us, and he does too. And that's his plan to get us safely home to heaven with him. Jesus does that for us. He wants to guide us every day with the power that his word gives. If you're looking for advice, you can ask somebody. Maybe they're smart about a certain thing, and you can ask them for advice. A lot of people Google it again, or they go on YouTube to learn how to do this thing or that repair or this do-it-yourself project. That can always be helpful. But who do we look to when we really need some guidance and advice? Sometimes we look to ourselves. Sometimes we look to our sinful world and see what other people are doing. Isn't it interesting that you and I can have our faith, and when there's something that we need to handle in our life, we can forget all about coming to the Lord for guidance. We can struggle with it ourselves and try and figure it out on our own and think we're pretty smart, or maybe we can trust somebody else to figure it out for us. God wants us to come to Him for that advice. He wants to guide and direct our lives every day, and you and I need it, because if we were left to ourselves, we'd certainly stray away from Him. What a privilege it is to have God's Word, to be able to study it tonight, to be able to study it every day of our lives, because God wants us to rejoice. We have our salvation, and He's here every day to guide us and help us keep our faith, and He's also here to give us the strength that we need. One of the things that's really heartwarming when you're a Christian is to see someone else demonstrate their faith. I think about that when there's a baptism and we see a baby get baptized. That's such a fun event. And it's encouraging because another person has been brought to faith. I think about that when people are confirmed and they stand around the communion railing, and youth and adult, they confess their faith and they promise to remain faithful to God for a lifetime. That's heartwarming. Well, the Apostle Paul had something very heartwarming, you might say, happen to him. And that's what the Philippians did for him. Paul was often on his own. He was responsible for his own care many times, physical care. And this time, the Philippians, they took up an offering and gathered money, and they gave it to Paul so he could get things that he needed. Even in prison, Paul didn't have what he needed, and there were ways for him to be able to get that. And that's why he was so thankful for the Philippians. He says, "I have learned the secret of being content in whatever circumstances. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." Paul wasn't so excited about the gift, about the amount of money. The Bible doesn't tell us what it is. Paul was excited because these people were demonstrating their faith. And that was encouraging to Paul. And he found great joy in understanding that because it gave him strength. Their gift of money would give Paul physical strength as he got what he needed for his body. But as they demonstrated their faith, that was a faith-strengthening thing for Paul. Well, my friends, that's what the Lord wants in our life too. He wants us to be strong in our faith. And you and I are not going to get that from physical activity. We're not going to get that from just putting our minds to it. It's the Lord that makes us strong. As we're hearing God's Word, our faith is being strengthened right now. As we receive Holy Communion, that's one of the blessings. God strengthens our faith in the sacrament, and He assures us that we are forgiven. Every day, the devil's after us. Every day, the temptations are there. For you and I to stay strong in faith, every day we need that contact with God and His Word. And by His grace, that's exactly what He gives to us. We can be content whatever's going on in our lives, our earthly lives, like Paul. We can be content because we have strength, not our own, but God giving us the strength to live as His people here in this world. In 2 weeks, it's the weekend of November 4th and 5th. That's daylight savings time, in case you were wondering. And in the fall, we fall backwards, so we gain an hour, but that means in the morning it's going to be dark for a long time. You get to this time of the year, and it's dark out, and it's cold out, and maybe it's cloudy, and it gets to be sort of dreary. You can get worn out just from the weather and just from inactivity. Well, that happens in our lives every day, doesn't it? We get worn out, not just in a physical way. We get worn out in a spiritual way. Every day we're fighting temptation. Every day we're trying to remain strong in the faith that God has given to us. Every day we're exposed to sinful influences that are out there in the world trying to get our attention. Every day, all those things happen, and it's a struggle to live like a Christian. Thank the Lord we don't do this alone. We're weak, but He's the mighty one. He's the one that gives us the strength. And when we rely on our Savior Jesus, when we rely on the power that God's Word gives, we can get through anything in our lives of faith, because God has overcome the devil. Jesus has defeated him, and by faith so have we. How are you doing today? How are things going? Sometimes that depends on your circumstances. Thank the Lord that as Christians, how we're doing every day can be the same thing. We're doing great because we are rejoicing in our salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Heavenly Father, you are the God of grace, the God of love, and the God of compassion. You sent your own Son here to die for every sinner. You invite all to come to him and believe in him by faith and have that gift of eternal life. Being by nature dead in our sins, we had no power to choose Jesus as our Savior or to come to him in faith. Dear Father, what we could not do, you have done for us. Even before you created the world, you knew us and chose us to be your own through faith. In due time, you sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts with your word and sacrament to bring us to faith. We confess that there is nothing good or pleasing in us that makes us worthy of your choice, or worthy to be brought to faith, or worthy of eternal life. From first to last, you deserve all the credit for our salvation. We confess that every day we fall short of your glory. Nevertheless, we are comforted in knowing that no one can bring any charges against us. No one can condemn us, because Jesus died for us and was raised back to life, and he is now praying for us at your right hand. Father, continue to assure us that our sins are forgiven and forgotten, that we are justified and saved. Now we ask you to help us live as Christians each day through the work of the Holy Spirit. Help us put away sin and to demonstrate our faith. Help us to grow in our faith so that we can be strengthened and resist temptations. Lord, we're confident that you will take care of us. You'll provide for our bodies, but especially for our spiritual needs. Guide, guard, and protect us each day as we keep our faith and look forward to that banquet that you've prepared in that perfect place of heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name, and then we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.